As I mentioned before, we begin a new series in Haggai, which is one of the minor prophets. They call them minor because they are smaller books, not because they are minor in significance. So if you're struggling to find Haggai, it is the third book from the last. So if you find the in between the two testaments and turn to the left, three books, you will find Haggai. And if you're following along in a pew Bible, it's page 791. We're just saying how our hearts are prone to wander, and we feel it. We're prone to leave the God we love, but we have given our hearts to God to take and seal it, to seal it for thy courts above. And here we see a time in which the Jews had returned, but they had also wandered away from their Lord and the priorities that God had placed before them. So we're going to read the first 11 verses in which Haggai comes and gives a word from God. Hear now God's holy word. The second year of Darius the king, or in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothed yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house, that I may take pleasure in it, and that I may be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Declares the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that lies in ruins, while each of you busies himself with his own house. Therefore the heavens above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the land and the hills, and on the grain and the new wine, the oil, on what the ground brings forth, on man and beast, and on all their labors. So far our reading in God's word. Children of God, some of you, maybe while you're walking around downtown, still notice the rubble. Still notice the buildings in disarray. Still notice staircases that lead up to nowhere. Following the earthquake, it has taken some time to restore the city. And we sometimes grow impatient. And we hear complaints from people of, how long is it going to take? How long am I going to have to drive over that buckle in the road because of the earthquake? How long is this restoration going to take? When the people of Israel were permitted to return to Jerusalem and rebuild, at first they were overjoyed. They were excited. They had zeal to clean up the rubble, clean up the place in which they would dwell again. when the approximately 50,000 people returned to Jerusalem in 536 BC, they immediately got to work. But here, we see that there is still rubble. And here, Cyrus is not reigning, who decreed them and allowed them to come back and told them to rebuild the temple. But we have a new king, King Darius. Many historians would say the exact date is August 29, 520 BC, 16 years later since the return of the Jewish people. So what has happened? Why has Haggai come? Why is this temple still lying in ruins? It would seem that the temple would be rebuilt. It'd be one of the first things. It was even one of the first things that they began to work on, as Ezra tells us. It is because the people's priorities have changed. And so God's word is sent to awaken them from their apathy and their idolatry. And that's our theme this morning. The Word of God calls these people to change their priorities to God's priorities. We'll first see that as we look at the people's priorities and its results. Second of all, we will look at what God's priority is. And finally, we will look at the call for reflection and repentance. So first of all, let's look at the people's priorities. The reason God's house lies in ruins was because the people's priorities had changed. Sometimes our priorities change because of outside circumstances. Such as maybe at one time when you were young and newly married, you wanted to build a custom car and so you set to work at it. When your wife became pregnant, that building a custom car turned into building cribs and setting up the nursery. The outside circumstances forced you to change your priorities. In Israel's case, the changing circumstances were both social and political. When they began their project, it was decreed that the people return and build the temple. Cyrus specifically decreed that they were to rebuild their temple and worship God. But the Samaritans, their neighbors, came along and they were unhappy with what was going on. They asked to help with the rebuild, but the Jews rejected their help. And so they began to put pressure on their work. And they were able to stop their work through bribes. Ezra 4 tells us that the people of the land, which is the Samaritans, discouraged the people of Judah and made them afraid to build and bribed counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, until the reign of Darius, the king of Persia. And so, Israel's neighbors caused their building hopes to get wrapped up in red tape. And so the people's focus turned from rebuilding the temple to rebuilding their own lives. They began their everyday work. They began to restore and build their homes. As time went on, the desire for restoring God's house subsided. Their focus no longer was on the temple at all, but instead on building their own houses. Less and less of a concern came for the priorities of the Lord arose in their hearts. So the leaders and the crowds gathered together on this August 29, 520 BC, which is a celebration that would have followed the harvest, called the New Moon Festival. And Haggai comes and he tells them, these people say the time has not come yet, to rebuild the house of the Lord. This is an excuse in which they are basically saying, we don't have time to do this. We've got other things going on in our lives. We're building, we're concentrated on our own lives and our own comfort, and we just don't have time. It'll cost too much. Now is not the time. Now is not the good political situation. We still have Samaritans around us that would pressure us. Maybe after we get rid of them, it'll be too hard. It'll take away from the comfort of our current lives. Cyrus is no longer king. Who knows how this new ruler is going to react to us building this temple? Maybe he will not allow us either. The cost is just too high. We just went through a rough harvest. Now is not the time, from what we can tell. So God cuts to the heart of the matter, and He points out that not only outside circumstances have scared these people from doing it, but also an idolatry that has grown in their heart. That they have become more concerned about building up their own houses and having the comfort and luxury of their own houses rather than the concerns and priorities of the Lord in His temple. That's what these words, the paneled houses, mean. That you dwell in paneled houses. It was an expensive way of making your house look nice. It was decorating it and making it comfortable to live in. These people were concerned about their comfort and luxury and not about God. They had looked for much. They were looking for profit for themselves, as verse 9 says. They continually were concerned with what they got, but not about what they gave. Not about the things of the Lord. And so the idol of comfort began to push out the worship of God. And so Haggai comes and tells them to look, interpret the times, consider your ways, consider the ways of history, how this last year especially there was a drought. Consider what is going on in your lives. See how you have sown much, but you reaped little. He says that you have eaten, but you don't have enough. They drink, but they never get their fill. They get dressed in the morning with clothes, but they can't stay warm. They strive for their wages, but it seems to just slip through their hands. The simpler way of saying this is they are not satisfied. They are unable to be satisfied because they are not seeking for the things of the Lord. When we worship and live for any other thing of this world, it will not satisfy. God has designed us to worship Him and Him alone. And writer David Foster Wallace says it this way: everybody worships. The only choice is what to worship. And the compelling reason for maybe choosing some sort of God to worship is that pretty much anything else you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, if they are where you tap real meaning in life, then you will never have enough. Never feel you have enough. It's the truth. Worship your body, beauty, and sexual allure, and you will always feel ugly. And when time and age start showing, you will die a million deaths before your loved ones finally plant you. Worship power, and you will end up feeling weak and afraid, and you will need ever more power over others to numb your own fear. worship your intellect. Being seen as smart, you will end up feeling stupid, a fraud, always on the verge of being found out. Look, the insidious things about these forms of worship is not that they are evil or sinful in and of themselves, but that they are unconscious. They are a default setting within us. Lack of satisfaction comes to us when we worship anything else or place our satisfaction in anything else than in God. So what is the priorities of God then? God contrasts how the people were concerned with their comfort with His house that lies in ruins. Now the house is not the place in which He only dwells. It's not a place in which can contain Him. In fact, later he says that God will be with them as they build. But the temple is important to the people of God because it is the place where they worship God, where they find forgiveness, where they find blessing in God as He dwells with them in a special way there. He dwells with His people and gathers them together there. And in Solomon's day, His glory filled the temple. In the Old Covenant, the temple was the place in which people would be drawn because of the glory and the blessing that would be found there. Yet now, the temple lies in ruins. The people don't have a concern for the things of the Lord, for the worship of God. They're perfectly content to be just amongst these ruins. And so God shows that their neglect of their house is a neglect of Him and His concerns. They are no longer zealous for the things of God. Their priorities are not for what God is concerned with. And so He calls them to redirect their focus. He calls them to look at their hearts. He calls them to be concerned with the things of God, to have a zeal for God. Because they had counted the cost and found that there were more important things to do. But John tells us that there was one who was consumed with zeal for the house of God. Zeal for God's house consumed Jesus of Nazareth. He saw men buying and selling in the house of God, and he put together whips and drove them out. And Jesus came to earth not to be concerned with His own comfort, or even to be concerned with the political situation around Him, or what others thought of what He was doing. Instead, He came to satisfy the will of His Father. He came with a zeal for the things of God. He had a great concern for God's house. But God's house, as we find in the New Testament, is no longer the temple. It is His people. God's house is you, people of God. You are His precious stones that are built up on Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, who did everything for you, who fulfilled the will of God for you. And He has a great concern for you, God's house. And as we see in this passage as well, God's name is glorified in His house, as it says in verse 8, that I might be glorified in it. So Haggai comes to a congregation of people that are gathered to celebrate at the temple of God. And Haggai tells the governor and the high priest that they and the people need to examine their ways. He wants them to reflect on their lives and their priorities. He literally says, set your heart on your ways. Examine where your heart is, because the concern is for their heart. And this will outwork in the fruit that they do. Right now, the fruit that they are showing is that they are concerned with themselves and their own comfort. That is where their heart is. And so they show it by building their own houses. Where is your heart? Your priorities at this point need to be renewed and repented of, that you are concerned with the ways of the Lord and not with your own comfort, not in your own desires, but for the things of the Lord. Because if you do not find your satisfaction in Christ, then you will never be able to say with Paul, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. And in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him, that is Christ, who strengthens me. That is where we find our satisfaction, in Christ. So if you are not finding satisfaction, turn to Him. Renew your life and repent and believe in Him, as we are called as Christians to continually do day after day, counting the cost and taking up the cross and following Him. And so Haggai tells the people to go up to the hills. He tells them to respond to God's call, to have a renewed concern for the house of God, for His ways. You too can produce fruit that is concerned with God's house. That we would bear fruit by building one another up in love, by being lights in the world, that others may know and come to this house and glorify God and praise Him with us. This is the fruit of what we have received in Christ Jesus. So God calls His people to renew and continually focus their priorities on the things of the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have sent Your Son to this earth, that He would have a great zeal for Your things, for Your house, that You sent Him to purchase living precious stones where you might dwell. And so, Lord, we ask that you would work in us a fervor for your things, that you would work in us a zeal for your house, that as we gather together, we would build one another up in love, and that when we go out into the world, that we would be lights of the world, sharing your precious gospel. This we ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen.